On February 10, 2009, two communication satellites, one Russian, the other American, smashed into each other 500 miles above Siberia at a closing speed of more than 25,000 miles an hour. Although the impetus for building their forerunners was war, this collision was a purely peacetime accident, the first of its kind. Someday, one of the hundreds of chunks of resulting debris might smash into another satellite or cripple a spaceship with people on board. Down on the ground that same winter's day, the Dow Jones Industrial Average closed at 7,888, respectably above the decade's dip to 6,440 in March 2009, but not much more than half its high of 14,198 in October 2007. In other news of the day, Muzak Holdings, the eponymous provider of elevator music, filed for bankruptcy. General Motors announced a cut of 10,000 white-collar jobs. Federal investigators raided the offices of a Washington lobbying firm whose clients were major campaign contributors to the head of the House Subcommittee on Defense Spending. The inflammatory Iranian president declared at a rally celebrating the 30th anniversary of his nation's Islamic Revolution that Iran was ready to hold talks based on mutual respect and in a fair atmosphere. And the brand new American president's brand new Secretary of the Treasury presented a $2 trillion plan to lure speculators into buying the unstable American assets that had collapsed the global economy. Civil engineers announced that 70% of the salt applied to icy roads in the Twin Cities ended up in the watershed. An environmental physicist announced that a third of the top-selling laser printers form large numbers of lung-damaging ultrafine particles from vapors emitted when the printed image is heat-fused to the paper. Climatologists announced that the flowering ranges of almost 100 plant species had crept uphill in Arizona's Santa Catalina Mountains over a 20-year period, in lockstep with the rise in summer temperatures. The world, in other words, was in flux and under threat, as it so often is. 10 days later, an international group of distinguished economists, officials, and academics met under the auspices of Columbia University's Center on Capitalism and Society to discuss how the world might manage to emerge from its worse-than-usual financial crisis. The center's director, Nobel laureate in economics Edmund Phelps, argued that some financial re-regulation was called for, but stressed that it must not discourage funding for investment in innovation in the non-financial business sector, which has been the main source of dynamism in the U.S. economy. What's the non-financial business sector? Military spending, medical equipment, aerospace, computers, Hollywood films, music, and more military spending. For Phelps, dynamism and innovation went hand in hand with capitalism and with war. Asked by a BBC interviewer for a big thought on the crisis and whether it constituted a permanent indictment of capitalism, he responded, "My big thought is we desperately need capitalism in order to create interesting work to be done for ordinary people, unless maybe we can go to war against Mars or something as an alternative." A vibrant economy, in other words, depends on at least one of the following: the profit motive, war on the ground, or war in space. On September 14, 2009, just a few months after the satellite smash-up and a few blocks from where the World Trade Center's Twin Towers had stood 8 years and 4 days earlier, President Barack Obama spoke to Wall Street movers and shakers to mark the first anniversary of the collapse of Lehman Brothers, the investment firm whose bankruptcy is often presented as having triggered the avalanche of financial failures in 2008 and 2009. That same morning, China laid the cornerstone for its fourth space center on an island close to the equator, the latitude of choice for exploiting Earth's rotation speed, thereby minimizing the fuel necessary for a launch and maximizing the potential payload. By late 2014, construction was finished, well before the World Trade Center site would be fully rebuilt. An Associated Press reporter spoke of China's soaring space ambitions, and after presenting a daunting list of Chinese space achievements and ambitions, stated that China says its space program is purely for peaceful ends, although its military background and Beijing's development of anti-satellite weapons have prompted some to question that. Much of the same could be said of the background and backing of the lavishly funded space programs created by the Cold War superpowers. Were he alive today, the 17th century Dutch astronomer and mathematician Christian Huygens might tell us we'd be fools to think that ambitious undertakings in space can be achieved without massive military support. Back in the 1690s, as Huygens thought about life on Mars and the other planets then known to populate the night sky, he pondered how best to foster inventiveness. For him and his era, profit was a powerful incentive, capitalism was as yet unnamed, and conflict was a divinely endorsed stimulant of creativity. It has so pleased God to order the earth that this mixture of bad men with good, and the consequence of such a mixture as misfortunes, wars, afflictions, poverty, and the like were given us for this very good end, viz., the exercising our wits and sharpening our inventions by forcing us to provide for our own necessary defense against our enemies.